in human life and in the history of faith, I think love has a quality of a bedrock reality we discover, adventurers, travelers, each of us only fitfully apprehending its potential. I take some solace in the fact that I'm not alone in this intuition, that the reality of evil, of injustice, of suffering notwithstanding, at the center of this existence is a heart beating with love. That's how Desmond Tutu put it to me, with greater authority than mine from a life that has known extremes of human cruelty one to another. I'm also inspired and persuaded by the Maine Game Warden Chaplain Kate Braestrup. She became Unitarian Universalist in adulthood and says that she, like some scientists I know, is religious but not spiritual. For her, this means that the idea that God is love has nothing to do with beliefs or transcendence and everything to do with actions and people. This is Becoming Wise, an inquiry into the mystery and the art of living. I'm Krista Tippett. There's this notion, a Tibetan notion, that rings true for you, that we, whether we know it or not, we're spending our whole lives preparing for our death. But a lot of the cases you deal with are people who are experiencing the death of people they love. And I don't think any of us feel like we can prepare for that, or that the universe even makes sense if we're supposed to.
Right. And that's why it's a good thing we don't have to consciously prepare.
Right. And I mean, I wondered if you would tell the story of Christina and of Anna Love. I mean, because that is a context in which you ponder this religious idea of miracle.
Right.
In all its complexity.
Well, Christina was a young woman who was abducted and raped and murdered and left in the woods. And so the Warden Service was involved, along with many, many other agencies, in both recovering her body, gathering and evaluating the evidence. And it was a very painful experience for everybody involved. Obviously, her family, it was excruciating. But it was one of those that kind of tests a lot of our sense of, you know, what it means to live in Maine, you know, of safety, of whether our children are safe, or whether we are safe, of, you know, what do you do about sort of this evil that swoops down completely at random? And I suppose that's where the issue of miracles comes in, that so many things had to happen in the right way or the wrong way, depending on how you put it, for this particular young woman to meet this particular guy in the parking lot at 7 o'clock in the morning. I mean, that it is as improbable as any miracle. And because of that, a miracle to me can't just be something that was providential, that everything had to line up just right in order for it to happen, because bad things happen that way too.
Yeah.
And really bad things happen that way too. If I look at it from another perspective, and this is really the perspective I maintain, that I don't look for God or God's work in magic or in tricks or in, you know, saying this is what I want and then I get it. I look for God's work always in how people love each other, in just the acts of love that I see around me. So this tested that. This event tested that for me, because in general, I don't get involved with a lot of sexual predators and murderers. I'm much more likely to be dealing with accidents or people who've done something stupid, or they got drunk and did something stupid, but they weren't actively malicious. So to look for where love was in this situation, the very obvious place to look would be in the hearts and the hands of the guys who did their best to find her and to make things right for her and for her family. And with all the limitation in that, with all the fact, you know, with all of the...
That they couldn't, in fact.
That they couldn't, yeah,
turn back time they, or right. make her be alive. Might
right.
that not have
they
happened?
Couldn't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact, actually, that they are willing to go and respond to these things when they can't fix it is actually, in some ways, the most beautiful thing I see. I mean, there's one thing to be get to be Superman, right? But what's amazing to me is that these guys are willing to go and do it.
You
even
mean
though
the police officers, the game wardens?
The police officers and the game wardens. And yeah, that they've actually deliberately set up their lives so that they're going to have to go and do these things that are excruciatingly painful and that don't fix or undo the harm and the evil that they see.
Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, it was a woman.
Yep.
Police
Anna
officer
Love.
Named Anna yep. Love.
Yep. And actually what was so neat about it was that Anna was the sort of primary detective on the case. She's this very serious young woman. I've known her actually for quite a long time now. And she's very easy to picture as a detective. She's very smart, you know, very serious, kind of a little pale heart-shaped face. And, you know, and at the time that she was investigating this, and that meant basically comb through all of this information and try to come up with plausible places to look for a suspect. Did that. They found the suspect. Then she has to interview him repeatedly and interview all the witnesses and interview him again and then go with him to the scene. And, you know, they go do this whole thing.
And this was all within just 3 days, right? I mean,
yeah.
she really
yeah.
closed this case. Yeah,
she did. In between all of this, she would duck into the lieutenant's office with a breast pump because she had a newborn baby at home, and she was sending bottles of milk home to her husband, who's also a police officer, so that he could give them to the baby. And I thought, there's something just gorgeous about that. You know, just
you wrote, if ours were a sensible culture, little girls would play with Anna Love action figures, badge in one hand, breast pump in the other.
Yeah. You know, and kind of the perfect detective for this case, mm-hmm. somehow. You know, there are these paradoxes, right, that you can't fix or make them fit together. You can't kind of shave away the edges so that they match. You just have to let them sit there as separate things. And one of them was here. It was, on one hand, you had this terrible event that was not right and not just and was cruel and on every level and harmful and hurtful and terrible. And on the other hand, you have all of these guys responding, all of these guys motivated by love. And one of them is Anna Love, who's a breastfeeding mother. And she's the one who nails this guy. And, you know, it's not as if all of that fixes Christina's death. It doesn't. It's just that they both exist in the same time, in the same space, which I guess it isn't enough and it is enough.
And then, you know, the question is, and this is something you, I know you grapple with all the time, I mean, how do you draw that line to this God of love from the child who's gone missing, the beloved husband who just skated onto lake that to ice that was too thin, the young woman who is raped and whose body is left in the woods?
Well, the first two are easier than the last one. The first two, you know, it was obvious in absolutely everything around us and everyone around, you know, that the child is loved. The people who show up have no trouble at all loving that child enough to risk themselves to try to find her or him. And, I mean, once you kind of accept that death is a given, then that becomes the thing to look for and to mark. And that doesn't mean that we don't...
The love and the care that surrounds...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I tell that to people all the time, and they do find it helpful. I mean, it isn't just me. They will say, you know, I will say, if someone asks, you know, where was God in this, I'll say, God was in all the people that came to try to help, to try to find your child, you know. And so I often say, you know, the question isn't whether we're going to have to do hard, awful things, because we are, and we all are. The question is whether we have to do them alone.
Kate Braestrup's gorgeous memoir of her chaplaincy is Here When You Need Me. Becoming Wise is an inquiry into the mystery and art of living. Listen to more moments like this at onbeing.org/becomingwise.
On Being is supported in part by Penguin Press, the publishers of Becoming Wise, an inquiry into the mystery and art of living. Brené Brown praises Krista Tippett's new book as brilliant thinking, beautiful storytelling, and practical insight. You won't forget what you read here. On sale April 5th, wherever books are sold.